Tonight, God's Word comes to us from the prophet Zephaniah. This rather short book is really all of one piece. We won't read all of it, but we'll read a lot of it. We're going to begin at chapter 1, read through verse 3 of chapter 2, and then pick up the reading once again at chapter 3 through the end of the book. Zephaniah chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. What we hear now is God's Word. The word of the Lord that came to Zephaniah, the son of Cushi, son of Gedaliah, son of Amariah, son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah. I will utterly sweep away everything from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. I will sweep away man and beast. I will sweep away the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea and the rubble with the wicked. I will cut off mankind from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And I will cut off from this place the remnant of Baal and the name of the adulterous priests along with the priests, those who bow down on the roofs to the host of the heavens, those who bow down and swear to the Lord and yet swear by Milcom, those who have turned back from following the Lord, who do not seek the Lord or inquire of Him. Be silent before the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is near. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice and consecrated His guests. And on the day of the Lord's sacrifice, I will punish the officials and the king's sons and all who array themselves in foreign attire. On that day, I will punish everyone who leaps over the threshold and those who fill their master's house with violence and fraud. On that day, declares the Lord, a cry will be heard from the fish gate and a wail from the second quarter, a loud crash from the hills. Wail, O inhabitants of the mortar, for all the traders are no more. All who weigh out silver are cut off. At that time I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the men who are complacent, those who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good, nor will He do ill. Their goods shall be plundered, and their houses laid waste. Though they build houses, they shall not inhabit them. Though they plant vineyards, they shall not drink wine from them. The great day of the Lord is near, near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. A mighty man cries aloud there. A day of wrath is that day, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet blast and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements. I will bring distress on mankind, so that they shall walk like the blind because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them on the day of the wrath of the Lord. In the fire of His jealousy, all the earth shall be consumed. For a full and sudden end, He will make all the inhabitants of the earth. Gather together, yes, gather, O shameless nation, before the decree takes effect, before the day passes away like chaff, before there comes upon you the burning anger of the Lord, before there comes upon you the day of the anger of the Lord. Seek the Lord, all you humble of the land. Do His just commands. Seek righteousness. Seek humility. Perhaps you may be hidden in the day of the anger of the Lord. And now chapter 3, verse 1. Woe to her who is rebellious and defiled, the oppressing city. She listens to no voice. She accepts no correction. She does not trust in the Lord. She does not draw near her God. Her officials within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. They leave nothing till the morning. Her prophets are fickle, treacherous men. Her priests profane what is holy. They do violence to the law. The Lord within her is righteous. He does no injustice. Every morning he shows forth his justice. Each dawn he does not fail. But the unjust knows no shame. I have cut off nations. Their battlements are in ruins. I have laid waste of their streets so that no one walks in them. Their cities have been made desolate, without a man, without an inhabitant. I said, surely you will fear me. You will accept correction. Then your dwelling would not be cut off, according to all that I have appointed against you. But all the more they were eager to make their deeds corrupt. Therefore, wait for me, declares the Lord, for the day when I rise up to seize the prey. For my decision is to gather nations, to assemble kingdoms, to pour out upon them my indignation, all my burning anger. For in the fire of my jealousy, all the earth shall be consumed. For at that time, I will change the speech of the peoples to pure speech, that all of them may call upon the name of the Lord and serve him with one accord. From beyond the rivers of Cush, my worshippers, the daughter of my dispersed ones, shall bring my offering. On that day you shall not be put to shame because of the deeds by which you have rebelled against me. For then I will remove from your midst your proud, exalted ones, and you shall no longer be haughty in my holy mountain. But I will leave in your midst a people humble and lowly. They shall seek refuge in the name of the Lord, those who are left in Israel. They shall do no injustice and speak no lies, nor shall be found in their mouth a deceitful tongue. For they shall graze and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never fear again evil. On that day, it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear not, O Zion. Let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing. I will gather those of you who mourn for the festival, so you will, that you will no longer suffer reproach. Behold, at that time I will deal with all your oppressors, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time I will bring you in, at the time when I gather you together, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. Hear we in the reading of God's holy word. Well, as we have been looking at these minor prophets together, I have tried to encourage you to think of these last three prophets we've looked at, Nahum and Habakkuk and Zephaniah, as a package together. All three of them prophesy at about the same time, about 630 down to about 600 B.C. They all come with a message of judgment upon the nations. And if we look at these prophets a little more carefully, we will see that actually Zephaniah, while it's the last in the order of the Bible, of these three, it's the first in order chronologically. Remember that there were 100 years of silence after those first prophets prophesied, and after Micah warned of God's courtroom and God's coming judgment. Then 100 years of silence. We read in Nahum about the destruction of Nineveh, but this comes before that. We read in Habakkuk about the destruction of Assyria, but this comes before that. This was the first prophetic word that Israel heard after those 100 years of prophetic silence, waiting for God to speak once again. Zephaniah brings a message of the coming day of the Lord. Now, other prophets had used that term. Amos references that term. Isaiah uses that term. But no one spells out more clearly what that day of the Lord will be like than the prophet Zephaniah. He is the prophet of, I've called him the prophet of God's day. I would have liked to say the prophet of the Lord's day, but that might have drawn your minds to the Christian Lord's Day Sunday. So we choose to call him the prophet of God's day. But he speaks about the coming day of the Lord. And Zephaniah, in describing that day, gives us a number of contrasts with regard to that day. He speaks of the day of the Lord, how it will affect the nations, and how it will affect Israel. He speaks of the day of the Lord, how it will come historically, and how it will come, I hate to use this word, but I'm going to, how it will come eschatologically, that is, at the final end of time. He speaks of the day of the Lord in terms of a day of destruction, but also as a day of deliverance. And so as we look at Zephaniah, the prophet of God's day, we see these themes interwoven together. A message to the nations and to Israel, a message historical and eschatological, a message of destruction, a message of deliverance. Well, the message of destruction fills the beginning of the prophecy. Destruction spoken of as coming upon the nations. Verse 14 of chapter 1. The great day of the Lord is near, near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The mighty man cries aloud there. A warning to the nations that God is going to come. And God is going to come to destroy. He says it is near. It is near and hastening. Now, remember, they've been waiting for 100 years to hear God speak again. Micah, the prophet before these three, spoke of God coming to judge, the courtroom scene. But then there was silence. And they waited, and they waited, and they waited. 100 years they waited. And it is easy to think about and imagine in those 100 years how they would become complacent. Micah warned about a coming day, a day of judgment. But nothing happened. Not for 10 years, not for 20 years, not for 50 years, and now 100 years later. And so the warning comes again. That great and terrible day is near. It is near and it is hastening. It is approaching. And it will be a day of distress for the nations and a day of battle. Chapter 1, verse 15. The day of wrath is that day, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and the battle cry against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements. God would come to destroy the nations. God would come to visit His destruction upon them. And verse 17 says, I will bring distress on mankind so that they may walk like the blind because they have sinned against the Lord. God would come in this destruction on the nations because they had sinned against Him. They had refused to acknowledge Him. They had refused to see His greatness, to see His glory, to see His power. They had seen God's work in the life of Israel, but the nations refused to see it. That God was the one true God. They still served their own gods. And God would come because they had sinned against Him, because they had failed to trust Him, but rather had trusted in themselves. Now, we didn't read chapter 2, verses 4 through the end, but that is God's charges against the various nations. And we notice in chapter 2, verse 15, this is the exalted city that lives securely, that said in her heart, I am and there is no one else. No need for God. I am. That's all there is.
What a desolation she has become, a lair for wild beasts. Everyone who passes by her hisses and shakes his fist. The nations were secure in themselves. They thought they had no need for God. And God would come in fiery destruction. Verse 18 of chapter 1. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them on the day of the wrath of the Lord. Even the rich, even the wealthy, even the powerful, not exempt from that great and terrible day, that day of God's wrath, that day of His anger, in the fire of His jealousy, all the earth shall be consumed. Of the full and sudden end, He will make all the inhabitants of the earth. A warning of God's destruction upon the nations. And we can understand that. That makes sense to us. They had refused to acknowledge God. They were self-sufficient rather than God-sufficient. But Zephaniah speaks of that great and terrible day not only in terms of the nations, but also God coming to judge Israel. God coming to judge His own people. Chapter 1, verse 2. I will utterly sweep away everything from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. I will sweep away man and beast. I'll sweep away the birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, and the rubble of the wicked. I will cut off mankind from the face of the earth. Verse 4. I will stretch out my hand against Judah, God's chosen, and against all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the city where God had said His name would dwell. The city God's chosen. The city we sung about tonight. Jerusalem, Mount Zion, the blessed city. I will come in fiery destruction against my people, says God. And I will cut off from this place the remnant of Baal and name the idolatrous priests along with all the priests and those who bow down to the roofs, to the hosts of heaven, and those who bow down and swear to the Lord, but still swear by Milcom too. God would come and judge His people. For what sin would He judge them? For the nations, because they refused to acknowledge Him. They were self-sufficient. God would judge Israel because while they knew Him, they refused to worship Him alone, to worship Him only. But they began to take in the pagan practices of the nations around them. That's the things He talks about in verses 4, 5, and 6. Those who bow on the roof to the host of heaven, worshiping the heavenly beings, worshiping the stars, the sun, moon, and stars. And they would add that to the worship of God. Those who bow down and swear to the Lord, and yet swear to Milcom, a different god as well. They had joined with the worship of God, the worship of pagan gods. A failure to be completely devoted 100% to God alone. And because of that, God would come in that day, that great and terrible day of judgment. And beyond the mixture of their worship was a lack of concern. An apathy toward the things of God. Chapter 1, verse 12. At that time I will search Jerusalem, God's people, with lamps, and I will punish the men who are complacent, who don't care about the things of God, and those who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good, He will not do well. A lack of zeal for God. A lack of devotion to God, and a general apathy toward who God is and what He would do. And for this, God would come in judgment. Israel's unwillingness to listen to the voice of God and His voice alone. Chapter 3, verse 2. She listens to no voice. She accepts no correction. This is about Jerusalem now. She does not trust in the Lord. She does not draw near her God. God came in judgment on the nations, but God would judge His people as well. for failure to worship Him properly, for failure to be wholly devoted. They were apathetic with regard to the things of God. It's a warning which we as God's people need to hear today.
It was a warning that would come to Israel and apply to them historically. God would come and judge Jerusalem.
But there's also that eschatological, that final judgment.
And as we wait for that, we hear this warning as well. That God will come again to judge both the nations and the church. He will judge those outside, and we know that.
But He will also judge those inside. Are we those who are wholly devoted to God, who seek after Him alone? Chapter 2, verse 3.
Seek the Lord, all you humble of the land, do His just commands. Seek righteousness, seek humility. Perhaps you may be hidden on that day of the anger of the Lord. God would come, but for those who would seek after Him, there would be a place of refuge.
A warning that we hear as the church today. God is going to come in judgment.
Chapter 3, verse 5. The Lord within her, that is within Jerusalem, within the church, is righteous. He does no injustice. Every morning He shows forth His justice. Every dawn He does not fail. But the unjust knows no shame.
What about our devotion to God, our desire to seek after Him?
God is righteous. God is perfect. His justice is in the morning, it's in the evening.
But we are so unjust and so often apathetic. Even when being warned and seeing how God has acted in the past.
Chapter 3, the verses 6 through 8 give us a reminder of God's work in the past. I have cut off nations. Their battlements are in ruins. I have laid waste their streets, and so that no one walks on them. Their cities have been made desolate, without a man, without an inhabitant. I said, surely you will fear me. You will accept correction. Look what I have done. Look what I can do. Look at God's action on the nations, on Israel itself.
Then your dwelling would not be cut off, according to all that I have appointed against you. But all the more, they were eager to make their deeds corrupt. A failure to see that God is a just, righteous, judging God who will come in judgment both on the nations and upon Israel, upon Zion, upon Jerusalem, upon the church. We must learn the lessons of history, the lessons of how God has worked in the past and will work in the future, that we might be saved in that great and coming day of the Lord.
But even as Zephaniah gives this harsh prophecy of this fiery day, of this day of judgment, he reminds them that for those who are found in the true Israel, for those who are the children of God, it's a day of deliverance. God promises not everyone and everything will be destroyed, but there will be those who are saved, those delivered. Deliverance for Israel. Chapter 3, verse 11. On that day, you shall not be put to shame because of the deeds by which you have rebelled against me. For then I will remove from your midst your proud exalted ones. They shall no longer be haughty in my holy mountain, but I will leave in your midst a people humble and lowly. They shall seek refuge in the name of the Lord. Those who are left in Israel, they shall do no injustice, speak no lies, nor shall be found in their mouth a deceitful tongue. They shall graze and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. That great and final day of the Lord is not only a day of God's destruction upon those who would refuse to acknowledge Him, it is a day of deliverance for His people. Grand and glorious deliverance. Those who have humbled themselves before Him, those who are meek before Him, those who put their trust not in themselves, not in their power,
but trust in God and what He can do and what He has done. How He has delivered us from our sins. How He has washed us, purified us in Jesus Christ. They shall graze and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. That beautiful picture of with joy embracing the Lord, ongoing day and night, gazing upon Him and basking in His glory. That's the day of the Lord for the believer, for those who are the remnant of Israel. And that great truth also spills over to the nations. Chapter 3, verse 9. For at that time I will change the speech of the peoples to pure speech, to all of them, that all of them may call upon the name of the Lord and serve Him with one accord. In other words, for those who are in the nations, for those who do acknowledge God, who recognize He is the one God, their speech shall be changed, no longer a self-serving speech, but they shall acknowledge God Himself. The glory of God continuing to bring the nations into Him. I will purify their speech as a picture of God purifying their hearts. From the heart the mouth speaks. God purifies a people for Himself. The nations, those outside, are brought in that they may call on the name of the Lord and serve with one accord. We pray that in the year to come, God will continue to bring people into our congregation. Some may come from within the church, just in other churches. Some may come from outside the church. And as they come in, we don't make a distinction between those who were born in the church and those who were not born in the church, for we serve together as one people of God. And we praise God for everyone whom He brings in, whether they are born in Zion or born in the nations and have had their speech and heart purified by the blood of Jesus Christ. It is a day of deliverance for all who call on the name of the Lord. And therefore a day for praise. A day to rejoice in what God has done. And that's how the prophecy ends. From chapter 3, verse 14. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. And Zephaniah here piles up those terms. Daughter of Zion, daughter of Jerusalem. The people he is talking about are us. We are those who are the daughters of Zion. We are those who are the daughters of Jerusalem. We are Israel of God. It's very easy to, when reading prophecy, make an improper connection. And I've got some commentaries on my shelf that do this again and again and again. They look at the nations of the time of Israel, and look at the nations today and make that connection. And then they look at Israel, the daughter of Zion, the people of God, and the connection made to today is our country, the United States. They connect nations with nations and this nation with our nation. But that's the wrong connection. It's dispensational type of thinking. The people of God, the daughter of Zion, the Jerusalem today, is not a physical nation on earth. It is the church, the true Israel of God. It is us who will be able to praise God on that great day of deliverance. Not because of our nationality, whether that be United States or Canada or Netherlands or whatever. It is because we belong to Zion. The church, God's holy hill. That's what Psalm 87 talks about that we read earlier. That's who Zephaniah is talking about. Sing aloud, daughter of Zion. That's us. Shout, O Israel. That's us. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. That's us. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never fear evil. God has removed
our punishment. God has removed the condemnation. God has removed the destruction and judgment because of Jesus Christ and what He has done for that people, for all who acknowledge Him. God is in our midst, Zephaniah says. He is in our midst tonight by the power of His Spirit. That is what draws us together. The Spirit is enlivened as we are here together. And He enlivens us to sing songs of praise to Him, to hear His Word, to apply that Word. God is in the midst of Jerusalem tonight, here in the corporate center, in Sioux Center. We gather. We gather as that people of God. Zephaniah brings a warning to the nations, a warning to Israel, to those who are apathetic, but also a call and a promise of blessing and deliverance. Yes, the destruction came in history. God destroyed the nations. God came in judgment on Israel. Deliverance came as well, both for Israel and for all who would align themselves with the God of Israel. It was a day of the Lord historical, in that it is past, but it is also a day of the Lord eschatological, in that it is coming yet for the future. How do we approach that great and awful day of the Lord? Right in the center of His prophecy, Zephaniah gives us the key. I read again from chapter 2, verse 1. Gather together, yes, gather, O shameless nation, before the decree takes effect, before that final day, before the day passes away like chaff, before there comes upon you the burning anger of the Lord, before there comes upon you the day of the anger of the Lord. Seek the Lord, all you humble of the land, who do His just commands. Seek righteousness, seek humility. Perhaps you may be hidden in the day of the anger of the Lord. The only way to withstand that final day of the Lord, that final eschatological day, is to seek the Lord now. To seek Him with a humble heart. To seek to follow Him wholeheartedly, not apathetically. To know that because of Jesus Christ and His work for you, the day will not be a day of destruction. The day will be a day of deliverance for you and for all the children of Zion. If you have not yet sought God, the day is near. It is drawing near and it is hastening. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to turn. Today is the day to bow the knee and to fear not the destruction for the future, but to anticipate the blessed deliverance for all of God's people. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we thank You for speaking to us through Your Word, through all of Your Word. Through the narratives, through the Gospels, through the epistles, through the writings, and through the prophets. Prophets who spoke to their times, and they saw Your faithfulness to Your Word. But prophets who also speak to our times, and to us as Israel, as Jerusalem, as the people of God. Lord God, may we seek You once again tonight, humbling ourselves before You, seeking righteousness, seeking humility, that we may be hidden in You and safe on that great and coming final day. Lord God, if there are those here tonight who have not fled to You for refuge, may tonight be that time of salvation. And for those of us who know You, may we truly, along with all of Zion, rejoice, sing aloud as Your daughter, sing aloud as Israel, rejoice and exalt with all our heart, for we are the daughter of Jerusalem. Hear our prayer, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen.